Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Know the News podcast, a production of the Northwest Arkansas Democratic Gazette Newsroom. I'm Dave Porozik, your host this week. And this week, we're taking another look at housing prices in our region. By now, you're probably aware it's not exactly easy to find affordable housing around here. As a matter of fact, the median price for single-family homes in Northwest Arkansas in the second quarter of this year was $350,000. That's about a 32% increase from the end of the second quarter of 2021. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. That's the highest increase by percentage in the entire nation for that time frame. Our longtime Enterprise reporter, Doug Thompson, has a story on that subject coming in the Democratic Gazette this weekend, and he joins me for today's podcast. Doug, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
We also have joining us here today one of Doug's key sources for his story, Duke McLarty. Mr. McLarty is executive director of the Workforce Housing Center under the umbrella of the Northwest Arkansas Council. Duke, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dave. And Doug, it's great to be here.
Yeah, so I thought we'd call this the Duke, Doug, and Dave show.
I think that has a triple certain D. Ring to it.
Triple D. Yeah. There you go. Triple D.
So, Duke, before we dive into this issue of housing, I'd like for you to kind of talk about yourself just a bit,
yep.
because I think you're a little bit new to this area, and just give our listeners an idea of what it is that you do.
Yeah, happy to. And thank you both for having me stop by today. It's great to be with you. And, you know, I'm really anxious to share the work that we're doing and where I think the region is headed, and what some things that I think the region needs to think about as our growth continues. Coming back to Northwest Arkansas is really a bit of a homecoming. I went to law school here and finished in 2009 at the University of Arkansas. My wife got her MBA at the Walton College. And we left in 2009 and had some opportunities in Washington, D.C. That we took. And we're in D.C. for almost 7 years, where I held primarily several roles at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. From there, we moved to Denver, Colorado, where I've been working for a private apartment developer for almost 4.5 years. And, you know, we had a great life in Colorado, and we're raising our kids, and they all snow ski, and we love the outdoors. And suddenly I was approached about a new opportunity back in Northwest Arkansas. So one thing led to another, and over a number of months, through many conversations and interviews, my wife and I decided it was the right opportunity and the right time for us to come back to a place that has changed a lot since we graduated and left in 2009, but that we feel very close to. We still have a lot of friends here. My family has deep ties in the state of Arkansas. My dad is from Hope. My mom is from Little Rock, and her family is from Southeast Arkansas in the McGee area. So it's great to get back to the state, and I really feel honored and privileged to be taking on this work for our residents in Northwest Arkansas.
And can you talk about your role at the
Happy to. So, you know, it's no surprise, and it's not breaking news to anyone, that housing, the real estate market in general, and housing, has seen just massive growth over the last few years. We went from a market 10 or 12 years ago that had an oversupply of housing. We had an abundance of housing. People could choose their neighborhood. They could choose their town. They could choose their floor plan. You know, there was just a lot of choices available. As the region grew, development in our region, housing development in our region, did not and has not kept up with that growth. I've been brought on to kind of diagnose and examine why that has happened and offer some solutions to what we as a region and what leaders in the region can do to produce more housing. We are really viewing what has happened in Northwest Arkansas as a lack of production. Land prices have spiked. When that happens, a developer has to put a more expensive final product on that piece of land to make the project even financially feasible. So the end result is, it's very expensive to get into homes that not that long ago were fairly affordable, and someone making a workforce wage could afford to live in closer proximity to their job, to kids' schools, to services, doctors' offices, the amenities, the trails. You know, those are out of reach for many people whose only housing option is to move further and further away from the Central Corridor. Our focus, I mentioned the term workforce. We are focused, and I think it's important to identify who we're focused on. And the workforce is, they make between 50 and 100% of the area median income. That means very little to most people. Dollars and cents, that is roughly $43,000 a year to $83,000 a year for a family of four. So who are these people? I mean, there are teachers, there are first responders, you know, there are university staff, you know, they work in our banks. You know, these are people that, you know, are active in your kids' parent-teacher organizations. You know, they coach our kids' baseball teams. These are people who contribute to our region in ways that, as they're pushed further and further out, you know, the quality of life for those who can afford to live closer to our central corridors are going to start feeling the impacts. You know, you can't hardly go anywhere nowadays without seeing help wanted signs. And I can't help but think, you know, some of that is because much of our workforce, they're being pushed further and further out. And as this trend continues, I think it's only going to get worse.
That raises an important point. I mean, if I'm having to live way out of town to get a job, and by town, I mean the Central Core like you're talking about, am I really going to drive past two or three or four or five places with help wanted signs in the window to take a job, you know, downtown? Why would I do that? And that's the problem. That is a problem, one of many problems. But, yeah, every time I write a story about the housing prices around here, I'm tempted to think, I'm plagued by the thought that I need to lead it a little bit, you know, like shooting at ducks or something, because, you know, it's rising so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to say that, to put this in some perspective, the housing shortage is nationwide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's important to remember. But the fever is higher here than it is in any other place. I mean, 31.9% from June the 30th of last year to June the 30th of this year increase. Used to be, what, $265,000 for a median house on June the 30th of last year. Now it's $350,000. The median price of a home throughout the entire United States is $403,000 now. Even though it's rising nationwide, we're still catching up.
Yeah.
And frankly, one of the big economic strengths of this region is always you could get a nice house here for what would cost you a fraction of what you would get in another nice places to live, like Austin or Denver or places like that. You could buy a mansion here for what you could spend in San Diego. But we're losing some of that edge, and we're losing it pretty quick.
And I think I think often folks who don't fall within this workforce earner range or even below, mm-hmm. you know, you I think the tendency is when this is discussed, you quickly kind of tune out, and you don't think about the impacts that these folks' dated challenges in their day-to-day lives just to get to and from a place of business have on you. But as we've said, it's challenges in hiring, it's challenges in retaining employees. You know, I often will say too, it's challenges in congestion and traffic. We all sit on the same roads. You know, it makes the roadway does not care what your income is.
No.
When that light turns red, we're all stopped. And as folks are spending more and more of their time on the roadways, you know, the overall quality of life and livability of the region will continue to slip.
Hannah Ciccione, who's a developer in Rogers, I mean, she's not even into residential real estate. I'd hope she'd be able to join us today, but she can't. She's a commercial developer. Mm. And now she says, if a business is thinking about moving in here, the first question they ask now is, where are my workers going to live?
Yeah.
If he's a restaurant, where are my servers going to be able to live, afford to live? Something Duke mentioned the last time I did a story about this. It's very true. People who would be buying a house normally are now been pushed out at the lower, at the entry level of that, and they've been pushed out, and that's driving the rental prices up. So, on top of that, I'm going to tell a quick true story here. Ms. Ciccione, like I said, is a commercial developer, and she said, hey, downtown Rogers has no hotel. Here's an opportunity. So she made, I'm going to describe them as very nice cabins. Hmm. She built 7 cabins on a hillside in downtown Rogers overlooking a park near the trail system and all this other stuff. And they're very nice, okay? So she's building this completely commercial development where she's going to rent them, you know, nightly, like a hotel or something, and people came up to her and said, hey, can I buy one of these? And these weren't people who were desperate because they couldn't find a typical, a traditional single-family home. These are people who wanted to live downtown, walk or bike to work, didn't want a big lawn to take care of, and that's the other thing about this. Mm-hmm. Tastes are changing rapidly, and you say, well, if we can get it more dense, we can make them less expensive. Not necessarily. A house with a small lot or a dwelling with a small lot, densely packed in a desirable spot, can cost you every bit as much as a big garden, big house somewhere out where you have to drive.
True.
And that's, it's we're watching taste change. Or taste is wrong, was too mild of a word. We're watching a mindset change here, as Ms. Ciccione put it.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. What I would just add to that, you know, a more compact use and development of the land is I think at the core of what we need to explore to ultimately find some success to these challenges. You know, we so often think of it as land and roads, but there's a lot under those roads that's also being pushed and taxed at levels that it wasn't designed to do, and that's our infrastructure, our water, our wastewater, our drinking water, but also, you know, stormwater runoff. And a more densely developed area will have a better use of those infrastructure investments and you know, above ground, create a more vibrant and inclusive community.
I'm going to quote you here. I mean, when I did the story on this, you told me there's no silver bullet.
Yeah.
It's an accumulation of things. Could That's you right. go into that a little bit?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think people much smarter than me, you know, have examined this, economists, housing experts, real estate experts, because as you said, Doug, this is not a new problem. You mm-hmm. know, the coast, the big cities on the coast have been grappling with this issue for years. It's new to this region. And to my earlier quote, it's you find success in this by compounding, you know, 5% here, a 10% mm-hmm. gain there. Mm-hmm. You know, a municipality, you know, may reexamine their zoning code and find ways to encourage a different product type. So instead of a code that encourages single-family home development, you know, there's an option to build a townhome product on mm-hmm. that same land. You know, the little changes like that, that's, you know, a 3 to 5% gain. Mm-hmm. You know, there may be a new financing model that is availed to the region or to a municipality that will also add another 5 or 10%. So, yeah, I feel very strongly, and I think lots of research has shown that there is not a magic silver bullet to this. But, you know, I think the newness of this issue in our region is... it's both a challenge, but it's also an opportunity. You know, I mean, these are conversations this region has not had to have. Mm-hmm. I feel it's my role and the Workforce Housing Center's role to prompt that conversation, to offer some solutions, you know, to encourage some different types of development, different patterns of development, to possibly explore, you know, some new financing tools, again, to start compounding those 5%, 10% incremental changes that, you know, in aggregate will mm-hmm. lead to a significant 20, 25% change over time.
There's another thing I'd like to mention about this. Mervin Jebera over at the university and I talked about this, and he made this point. People say, wow, my house was only worth that I bought for $200,000 a few years ago, now worth $300,000. This is great. But as he pointed out, though, if you sell that house, you got to have somewhere to live.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't sell something for $100,000 profit so you can go homeless. Okay? Nobody do. You might be if you're crazy, but seriously. So yeah, relative gain is a thing to point out here. Everybody, oh, my house is going up, up, and up. Well, so is the replacement cost. And that's an important point to make.
Yeah.
Another point I'd like to make is I asked Duke and Mervin the same question, because last time we saw a house and price increases like this, it was right before the bubble burst in 2008. So I'm sitting here, you know, lame and Doug going up to these two and saying, are we in a bubble? And the answer was a pretty resounding no. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you and explain why you don't think these housing prices are going to crash anytime soon.
And it's a totally fair question. I mean, there are, you know, some similarities that are emerging that we saw in the 07, 08, 09
yeah.
bubble years. What was not present during that time is those who have been borrowing are far better qualified home buyers
yeah.
Than they were, you know, leading up to 08, 09.
Yeah.
In 07, 08, you know, if you could fog a mirror, you could get a mortgage. We're a yep. long way from that.
Yeah.
So the qualifications of our buyers are much better suited. You know, the population projections for this region,
mm-hmm.
I think also cut in favor of this not being a bubble. You know, part of what created the previous bubble was there just were no buyers. And, you know, folks were underwater in mortgages mm-hmm. they couldn't afford, and there was no one there to buy the home. I don't expect our region's growth is going to slow, especially to the point that folks are stuck with homes they can't sell. The other part is, you know, the unemployment rate nationally mm-hmm. is quite strong. So folks are working, you know, they have money that they can apply to their mortgage. You know, even in Northwest Arkansas, I mean, it is even less of an issue, the employment rates. So I think for those reasons, we are not likely to see a bubble, which would indicate kind of a moment in time where everything falls apart.
If you're sitting around waiting for the housing prices to crash, you got a long, long wait.
Yep. Crash, you know, bubble, all these come with, you know, thoughts of a sudden decline. Mm-hmm. What I think is more likely in our region is a bit of a plateau.
Yeah.
I think this is a response of a higher interest rate environment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much, and you and I discussed this, Doug, for an increase in interest rates to start pricing out thousands of people who were barely qualifying for those loans in the first place. So a higher interest rate environment is certainly going to, I think, cause a bit of a plateau. I think prices will eventually follow, and I don't think it's going to be a sharp downturn, though. I think it's going to be a bit of a cooling, a bit of a plateau. And I really, you know, there are, I think, positives in a cooled, more predictable real estate market, particularly for developers who, you know, they're making large financial commitments based on, you know, a 18-month or two-year development cycle. And I think some predictability in those circles will very much be welcome.
Yeah, Mervin made a point that is an interesting point, and I really need to talk to some contractors and see if this is true. He said the recent raise in interest rates by the Fed had a bit of a more of an effect on developers than did on buyers. The housing market hadn't even cooled off. You know, people wanting to buy hadn't cooled it off. Well, when a developer is looking at higher interest rates, a little hesitancy creeps in.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep talking. The core issue here is that people who easily could have qualified for a loan 4 or 5 or even 3 years ago to get a house in Northwest Arkansas are being pushed out.
Yep.
That's the core of the problem. And that's what we keep talking about.
And I should have included this, I think, in Dave's original question. I mean, we at the Workforce Housing Center are, as I mentioned, very focused on the production side. But we are thinking of it in terms of just creating some optionality. You know, to be a teacher in this region should not mean that you commit to a significant commute. There should be homes in each municipality, in each neighborhood, that are designed to hit a lower price point, and that, you know, will create a more inclusive and economically diverse, and I think by proxy, you know, more racially diverse communities.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned teachers and such like that. Something I'm going to quickly mention. The property tax assessment on your home is an increase in any 1 year, and we usually have a 3-year cycle, or at least that's the ideal. Property tax increase on your home is capped at 5%. Okay? And that's what pays for our schools. That's where most of our property taxes go. So we're heading here looking at a cap of 5%, which is only applied like every 3 years. If then, I won't go into the complexities of Arkansas property tax appraisal law, but your appraisal on your home, your assessment can only go up 5% a year. And meanwhile, we've got prices rising at more than 30% a year. There's a gap there. And, you know, it's like I say, I won't make a big, long, boring, in-the-weeds discussion about it, but that's a problem. You know, especially when the region schools are part of our strength of this region. So, yeah, these housing prices, it's already undermining the affordability of housing, which traditionally has been one of our great strengths in Arkansas in general and this region in particular. For another thing, you know, it's the schools, at the very least, aren't getting the full benefit of it or anywhere even close. And another thing I will point out is that if it's we're going up faster than the nation, but we're going up a lot faster than the rest of Arkansas, or at least many portions of it. When we first moved up here in the late 1990s, I went to one of my kids played soccer, and I sat next to a guy who moved up here from Pine Bluff, you know, and then you know, and other places I sat next to people who came from Hope, who came from Prescott, who came from Little Rock. You could sell a house in one of those places, and you'd be lucky to be if your equity could make a good down payment on an equivalent house up here now. And that doesn't help us solve all those help wanted signs you see all over town these days. Anyway.
No, you're right. I mean, and you know, at what point, you know, will you specifically mention teachers? I mean, at what point will teachers say, I can't do that? And suddenly, you know, I have a third grader and a first grader, a third grader, first grade that's typically four classrooms in one school, you know, has to be three. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those are the things that we as a region need to keep in mind as we're approaching this.
As I frequently said, you know, Northwest Arkansas has always had the benefit of people to come who go to college at the university and never get over it. You know, they come up here, they fall in love with the region, they can afford to move here, they stay.
That's why I'm back.
Exactly, you know. We get to keep them. So we've been, you know, and I've sat there and heard school superintendents all over Arkansas at state legislative meetings complain about how we skim the cream up here. Well, can we keep skimming the cream if they can't afford to live here?
Right.
You know, this issue of how much it costs to live here is fundamental to everything else.
Yep. It's a huge topic. Gentlemen, we're running short on time. Is there anything else that you want to mention last minute? And
I think the last thing I would just say is, you know, we don't have, as the Workforce Housing Center, we don't have specifics yet on exactly how folks can get involved. But I would encourage people to think about, you know, if you're an employer, think about the day-to-day life and you know, what your employees go through every day, not just what they do in your place of business. Think about where they're coming from. Think about the challenges they face in getting kids to and from activities, you know, after work. But I want folks to start thinking about how they can get involved. You know, I think folks should feel comfortable contacting their city council members, talking to their neighbors, you know, about our quality of life and what it's going to take to maintain that. That's you know, my hope is that it's really a broad understanding of why this is important and what the future of Northwest Arkansas looks like. If we get this right.
Great. Thank you both for joining the discussion today, Doug and Duke. Appreciate having you on.
Of course.
And like I said, we could talk about this all day probably, but fascinating topic. So we'll look forward to your story, Doug, on Sunday, sounds like.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Dave. All right. I want to tell you about some of the other great stories we have coming for you this weekend. The Fayetteville School Board is gearing up to sell the property formerly known as Jefferson Elementary School. Find out more about those plans in the story our education reporter Janelle Jessen has coming this weekend. And in Rogers, the Pinnacle Hills area seems to be growing by the day. Our Rogers City reporter Garrett Moore will have a story on the district, a development that will add a great deal more retail and restaurant space to the Pinnacle Hills area, along with a boutique hotel and convention center. Turning attention to the River Valley now, reporter Thomas Ascente will have a story about the leadership transition at the Fort Smith Boys and Girls Club, where Jerry Glidewell is retiring after 43 years with the organization. Also, the Fort Smith School District kicked off its 2022-23 school year this past week. Reporter Monica Brick talks to teachers and district officials about how that went. And in another story of hers, Monica will dive into politics with a story about the races for three at-large positions on the Fort Smith Board of Directors to be decided in November. Of course, we've got all of your entertainment news covered in this Sunday's What's Up section. Check out Becca Martin Brown's preview of It Came From Outer Space, a musical showing at Theater Squared starting next week. What's Up will also preview an upcoming performance of the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, a new art exhibit at the Walton Arts Center, and the new Listening Forest experience at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. And yes, sports fans, high school football returns this week, so please follow along with our staff of veteran sports reporters as they bring you all the action from the gridiron. And don't forget, we also strive to keep you informed on what's happening all over the wild world of sports, from Major League Baseball to the WNBA playoffs. Again, that's just a sampling of what we've got planned for our readers this weekend. Be sure to check back with us next Friday for a new edition of the Know the News podcast. If you like it, please subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button on your device right now. And if you're interested in subscribing to our newspaper, that's easy too. Just go to our website at nwaonline.com and click on the subscribe button. Or call us at 479-684-5509. Thanks for listening. Again, I am Dave Porozik, your podcast host this week. Have a lovely weekend, and until next Friday, so long.